It is noontime in Atlanta, time for Radio Bible Study. Today we have only one question for consideration. What promises does God give the Christian to help in time of temptation? That's just one question, but it's an important question. We believe that finding the answer will be a real blessing to you. Though we're studying from the 10th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians, we are studying only one verse today. This also is somewhat different from our usual approach, but we believe that there is enough in this verse to warrant the entire time that we shall spend today. Be sure and listen. We believe you'll find a benefit in it. You're listening to Radio Bible Study, a program brought to you each day Monday through Friday by the Church of Christ in Embry Hills. Just as we invite you to hear this broadcast each day, we invite you to our services. We meet at 9 o'clock for Bible classes. At 9:55, the church assembles for the worship of the Lord. We engage in the Lord's Supper each Lord's Day. We engage in congregational singing, in prayer to God, in the giving of our means, and in the teaching of the Word of God. Some of the men of the church will be preaching this coming Lord's Day. We believe you will find their message edifying. Again, at 6:30 in the evening, the church will meet for another period of worship. You'll be welcome at any of these services. The church in Embry Hills meets at 3250 Chambly Tucker Road, Northeast. This is in the Chambly Doraville area. We are on Chambly Tucker Road just inside the perimeter, very near the intersection of the perimeter and the Northeast Expressway. If you get into the area of the Embry Hills Shopping Center, you'll find us easily. Rest assured that a warm welcome is yours. This week we've been offering our tract on falling from grace. This is the last day we'll mention it. It is free and available simply for calling. You may call us at 455-8412, or if you wish to write us, you may write Church of Christ, 3250 Chambly Tucker Road, Atlanta, Georgia, 30341. Request the tract on falling from grace. In our studies this week, we have seen Paul's stern warning to the Corinthians. Even the Israelites were baptized into Moses and were partakers of Christ, and yet most of them failed to reach the promised land because of lusting, because of idolatry, because of fornication, because of complaint about hardship, and because of murmuring against the leaders whom God had chosen. Paul's warning was that if the Israelites could fail to reach their promised land, Canaan, so Christians can fail to reach their promised land, which is heaven. This warning is repeated several times in the New Testament. We cannot forget the 3rd chapter of the book of Hebrews, beginning with verse 7. Paul writes here, "Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation and the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do alway err in their heart, they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end." And then in the first verse of chapter 4, the Hebrew writer writes, "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it." And so there is danger for everyone if we fail to resist temptation and if we fail to be faithful to the Lord. But this is frightening. Temptation is strong. Losing heaven is the greatest possible tragedy. The Holy Spirit must have felt that the Corinthians would react that way. For he follows these warnings to the Corinthians with a most consoling, helpful verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 has been a real blessing to me, and I believe it will be a blessing to you if you will carefully consider it. I would encourage you to memorize the verse, for I believe you'll find it coming up in your heart again and again as you face temptation. Here's what the Spirit said through Paul. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Now there are some four or five important facts about temptation that are revealed here in this verse of Scripture. First of all, it is revealed that I am not suffering some peculiarly great temptation. Did you note what he said? There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. You know, if we ever feel that we are being tempted more severely than anyone else has ever been tempted, then we'll feel justified in sinning. We'll say, well, no one else ever had it as hard as I'm having it. If they had been tempted as I'm tempted, then they would have sinned too. But that's just not the case. Others have faced the same temptations that we face. And in fact, others have faced them and overcome them. And if others have overcome them, then so can we. Jesus himself has been tempted in every point like as we are. Hebrews 4:15. Yet he was without sin. I feel, however, sometime that the Lord is not the example for us that he ought to be because we say, well, he was divine. There are other examples, however, of individuals tempted in every conceivable way. Am I tempted to drink? So was Daniel. Am I tempted to commit adultery? So was Joseph. Am I tempted to curse? So was Job. Am I tempted to lie? Am I tempted to quit in the face of difficulty? So were many of God's servants. But many of them were successful in overcoming those temptations. And the point should remain clear to me that if they could overcome, so can I. But there's a second thought revealed in this portion of Scripture. That is that God has control over temptation. Now, this is not to say that God administers temptation. He does not. James 1:13 flatly denies that. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But though God does not tempt us, God does permit it. That's evident in the story of Job. You remember that God boasted of Job to Satan, and Satan said, you have hedged him about. You've protected him. God allowed Satan to tempt Job. God allows us to be tempted. The very fact that God does allow us to be tempted is proof of the fact that temptation can be for our good. And that is exactly what is said in James the first chapter, beginning with verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Now that just means that when I am tempted, I can be sure that the temptation itself will be for my good if I overcome it. But someone says, suppose I can't overcome it. Well, I can. And that's a part of this promise in 1 Corinthians 10:13. Having said that no temptation has taken you, but such as is common to man, he adds, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. We mentioned a minute ago that God permitted Satan to tempt Job, but do you recall that God limited Satan's power to tempt him? At first, God allowed Satan to touch only his possessions and his family. Then God did allow Satan to touch his body, but would not allow him to touch the life of Job. God would not let Satan go any farther than Job could endure. God has promised the same thing for you and me. The promise is right here in this verse. He will not permit me to be tempted beyond what I am able to bear. That simply means that I can say of every temptation, this one I can overcome. Maybe I cannot overcome all temptations, but I can overcome this one. For if I could not overcome this one, God would not have allowed it to come into my life. That is a tremendous assurance, and it should give us strength whenever we face temptation. This promise of God. Note he says God is faithful. God will fulfill his promises. We don't have to wonder about it. We don't have to doubt. We do not have to be uncertain. God has screened the temptations that have come into my life, and he will not allow me to be tempted beyond what I am able to bear. But the fourth thing promised in this passage is that God will provide for me the way of escape. This is beautifully said in 2 Peter, the 2nd chapter, and verse 9, where Peter says, "The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished." Now this way of escape which God provides is one that I must accept. This is not something that God will do without my cooperation. Right here is where we come into conflict with those who believe in the impossibility of apostasy or believe that one cannot fall from grace. They maintain that God protects and holds an individual whether he cooperates or not, whether he wills to be kept or not. I cannot accept that view. It is dependent upon my willingness. If I am willing, then God will protect me. God provides the way of escape, but I must accept that way of escape. There are several different ways in which God provides the escape. First, through his word. Ephesians 6:17 speaks of the word as a sword. By this I may be able to overcome Satan. But I must study that word and treasure it up in my heart. David said, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." Psalm 119, verse 11. We see this working in the life of Jesus. You recall that when he was tempted, Matthew 4, 1 through 11, each temptation was met with the words, "It is written." His knowledge of the Word of God was the way of escape that God had provided. He utilized this way of escape by knowing the Word and keeping it. But second, there must be the will to resist. There must be the self-discipline, the determination, the purpose. We have seen already Paul's statement concerning himself in 1 Corinthians 9:27. "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not eat the king's dainties. Daniel 1:9. So the power to will, to determine, to purpose is one of the ways of escape that God has given. But third, there must be watchfulness in prayer. Jesus said in Matthew 26:41, "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation." On some occasions, there must be a willingness to run away. In 2 Timothy 2:22, God said to Timothy, "Flee also youthful lusts." And in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 18, "Flee fornication." We find Joseph literally doing that in the book of Genesis when his master's wife attempted to involve him in sin. Joseph fled, leaving her even holding his coat. This was the way of escape that God provided, and Joseph accepted it. Sometime, of course, we must stand and fight. In James 4 and 7, James said, "Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Ephesians 6, having described the whole armor of God, says in verse 13, "And having done all, stand." But rest assured that if we stand and fight, God will give us the victory. There is no excuse for any Christian succumbing to temptation. God has protected us from any temptation that we cannot bear. And if we will but accept it, he has provided us with the way of escape. This is the security which we have in Christ Jesus. This is Saul Hall for Radio Bible Study.